Okay, let's first finish up a few ideas, a few halachas from the Seder that we did not conclude with yesterday. Okay, when must one eat the afikoymin? So we all know there's machlekes the gemara with the seif zman, the karm pesach. When must the karm pesach be eaten? Machlekes the gemara by chatzos or alois hashachar. Okay, it's a very, very big sugya. Bottom line is, the Ramah says that l'chatchila, you should eat the afikoymin before chatzos. Okay, before chatzos. So, but it's not an absolute halacha. Not everyone, now you'd be surprised how many people do not follow. It's a hiddur. It's a hiddur to eat the afikoymin before chatzos. And many hold that having a seder and being mekayim, v'gadata levincha, teaching your children about, giving them an experience they'll never forget, is much more important, much more critical than the chumrah of eating the afikoymin before chatzos. If the entire seder, what?
Don't we have a daylight savings time? It's
probably 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, right? 1 o'clock. That's what I said. 1 o'clock. So if this Seder is going to be rushed, sometimes you'll have a Seder and you get a late start. Okay, you get a late start, and the Seder is going to be rushed in order, quick, in order that we should eat the Afikoymin before Chatzos. That takes away from the entire flavor. You all know that when you're in a situation, when you have to rush. There's no yishuv hadas. That is the total opposite of chayrus. The whole essence of zman chayrusenu, that the seder should be conducted in a way that you are b'nei chayrin. If you're being pressed for time, it is extremely, extremely uncomfortable. Okay, I don't know if you have. There's so many examples of situations where you're in a situation where you're under a whip, faster. There's no time. There's no flavor. So there are many Gedolei Yisrael who hold that if you're in such a situation where you got a late start, and you're going to have to rush the entire Seder, and it's going to take away from the true purpose of the Seder, the Ikar Mitzvah of Avigadta Levincha Bayoy Mahulem. You're doing a Deraiser. Eating the Afikoymin is only a Zecha. It's only a Hiddur. It's only a Chumrah. It's only a Hiddur eating the Afikoymin. The only mitzvah deraisa lil pesach, there are two mitzvah deraisa. There is the mitzvah of eating matzah, which certainly you'll do before chatzos, that you'll certainly do. And there is the mitzvah of even that not much you have to eat before chatzos. But that you'll for sure eat matzah, the moitzi matzah, and the mitzvah of sipur yitzias mitzrayim. That's the ikar. To rush the entire seder so that you should eat the afikoymin before chatzos, the mekayim the halacha of the Ramah, the chum of the Ramah is that since the Karm Pesach was eaten only until chatzos, so you should eat the afikoymin before chatzos, it's not necessarily a good thing. Yotza schoroi behef seder. So there are many people who are very knowledgeable, who know what it's all about, will not be makbid on this halacha. If you can. If you can't, don't make an issue. So you eat the afikoymin after chatzos. Yesh al mi lismach. Okay, it's not etched in stone that the halach is like the chacham that you have to eat before chatzos. You can eat the afikoymin even after chatzos. It's not the korban pesach. It's a zechel pesach. It will be the last thing that you eat. The tam of matzah will remain in your mouth. It can be eaten even after chatzos. Now everyone knows something called the tanai of the avnei nezer. Some people have a chiddush. It's very controversial. This is the correct thing to do. Is that if you see that it's getting very, very late, and you're up to it's chatzos, 1 o'clock. So what you do is you stop what you're doing and you eat the afikoymin. Eat the afikoymin, and then you wait until it's 1 o'clock. Don't eat anything past 1 o'clock. Until it's 1 o'clock. That way, you ate the afikoymin before chatzos. And it was the last thing that you ate until before. It was the last thing that you ate. Sit. It was the last thing that you ate. The last thing that you ate before chatzos. And now, after chatzos, it's no longer the zman. If it's no longer the zman of achilas pesach, you're allowed to eat. Now, we do not pasken like that. But here, in order to at least to get in the fact that you ate the afikayim before chatzis is better than nothing, so it's an idea to again to make the tanai that if the halach is like the chachamim that the latest man the latest man to eat the afikayim in his chatzis, so I'm going to eat the afikayim before chatzis. I'm not going to eat anything from the time I eat the afikayim until the moment of chatzis. That way, the time of the matzah will remain in my mouth until the end of the zman. And now, according to the chachamim, the zman is over. I'm allowed to eat. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. So now I'll continue my seder, have my shulchan aruch, and then at the end of my shulchan aruch, when we finish the nochamol, I'll eat another 2 kizesim for the afikayim. Having the meal then. And then I'll wait until the morning, and then I will not eat anything after my second afikayim until the morning. So basically, you're making a tanai, and you're having a double afikayim. We said yesterday there are total 5 kizesim. If you make the tanai of the avnei nezer, now you'll have 7 kizesim with the tanai of the avnei nezer. Now some there are some gedolim that enjoy this. The avnei nezer said, did he really say it? Not supposed that he actually said this. But some people they do this, and some hold that it's not an approach in the halacha.
If I may interject 1 second, that what I read in one of these the great Torah was that there's a difference between magid and sikur. Yigad talavincha is the sheyena de alishon, so that's why it's called magid. You read the halacha, there's no questions. He doesn't know what to ask. You just say the mitzvah of being makayim sikur yitzias mitzrayim is after you finish the haggadah. That's when
after.
There's a shakla v'tarya to the other people. That's when the mitzvah of being marich in the sipur is after you finish the haggadah. It's called magid because you just say it. You're talking to somebody who doesn't know what to ask. So that's magid. It's called magid. It's not called sipur.
So sipur first begins after the seder is over. Haggadah. Fascinating. Never heard such a thing. Very interesting.
Neither did I.
Interesting. Okay. So this is the tanai of some do, some do not. Okay. So now there's one important idea that he writes. He makes a big point of here in this wonderful sefer by Rabbi Zev Hofstadter, and that is, if the same way you according to the Chachamim, you're obligated to eat the afikayim before chatzos, you're obligated to conclude the halal before chatzos. Because the halal is said on the matzah, so you can't separate the two. And he just writes very surprised. No one makes an issue. Those people who are very makbid the matzah before chatzos, you also have to be makbid to recite halal. Don't go take a break. Don't lie down and take a break. And after you finish saying halal, I eating the afikayim. Okay, I need time for my stomach to relax before we can continue reciting halal. And you pick up the seder at 1:30 in the morning. That's not you totally missed the boat. If you want to eat the afikayim before chatzos, so at least finish it 15 minutes before chatzos to give you a couple of minutes to finish reciting halal with the bracha at the end. So that you do it the correct way. It's really all enough. And you can't just go eat the matzah for chatzos and then recite the halal after chatzos. Okay, that's something just to be aware of. Now, as you said, we said before, but Meskid said before, that after you finish the seder, now, there is a mitzvah, the only place in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, it says that you should stay up the entire night is only after the Haggadah. We have a minhag to stay up the entire night, Shavuos. Where does that come from? It's a minhag. A minhag to stay up because of, everyone knows because of the stuff we overslept from Matan Torah. So to make it up, we're not going to oversleep Matan Torah. We're going to stay up the entire night. That's a very nice minhag, but it doesn't say that anywhere. That's a pure minhag. But it does say in the Rambam that you are mechuyev. I'm not sure the exact words. I have to go look it up again. Is that you're supposed to stay up after the Seder until the morning, Alois HaShachar, discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim.
You have the story in the Agad, even though that was
exactly
right.
The story of the Agad, Rabbi Akiva, they were up the entire night, Higiyaz Man Kriyashma Shel Shacharis. That's the halacha. And yet, I've never heard of a person, I've never heard even of Rosh Hashiva, that after the Haggadah is over, after they finish the Seder, no matter what time they finish, they stay up the rest of the night learning the Inyonei Haggadah, Inyonei Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, until Alois HaShachar, and they daven Kivosikin. We have our priorities out of order. The Haloya. Yeah.
I was by the Bava Vav Rebbe, that 1001, I think.
Shlomo?
Yeah. I was by him. I remember they Seder with a few hundred people. They had the Seder, and they went the entire night, and then all of a sudden they gave a clap, they would sing and dance, and then they would say Kriya Shema.
He gives my Kriya Kriya Shel Shachar.
Yes.
And they davened? And they davened?
No.
Just Kriya Shema.
I'm not sure they davened. I left.
I was there. Some of the time.
They
have
the same
time. That story wasn't Pesach, was it?
Oh, that's Machlokes.
Right.
That's Mal doesn't say. It doesn't say.
Rabbis talks about what the Mefarshim talk about what happened that night. They came. His sons came home from a wedding.
Right, the Pash is not. I think most of us say it's not, but some say it was. It doesn't say. But what night? It doesn't say that it was the night of Pesach. And it seems like they were on the way to the government to help out for Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's another halacha. Now this year is a unique year, and that is because the first night of Pesach is Shabbos. And the second night is Mutzoy Shabbos. So in the first night, we have to make mention of Kiddush. And Kiddush, we make mention of Shabbos Kodesh. A lot of complications. The Nusach of the Kiddush is different. The Shir of the Yayin has to be larger because the Kais Rishon is also Kiddush, which has higher standards. And you have to add into the nusach of the kiddush a mention of Shabbos. If you forget to mention Shabbos, lo yatsa, you have to repeat it all over again. Interestingly, if you forget to mention Pesach, if you say the regular kiddush of Friday night, and you don't make mention of Pesach, if I'm not mistaken, you yotze. You don't have to repeat the kiddush. What? Because you anyway say Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, but if you don't mention Shabbos in your kiddush, then you got to repeat the Kiddush all over again. So yeah, it's very important to remember. Don't forget that it's Friday night. Another interesting question.
So the Shear is
what?
The Shear is how much for Friday night? The Shear, yeah.
The Shear is
4.4.
It's a big Shear, 4.4. Rav Moshe 4.4, and all of the other cases are Rav Moshe 2.9. Okay, 2.9. An ounce is approximately 1 schnapps cup. A shot. Plastic little schnapps cup, that's 1 ounce. 3 of those is a revius. According to Rav Moshe, for 3 of the 4 koises. The first kois this year has to be 4.5 schnapps cups. Okay, very easy way to remember. You take one of those little plastic schnapps cups that they have all around in the shuls, and that's an ounce. That's come out exactly 1 ounce. 4.5 of those, what you need, your kois must contain 4.5 of those, and you only have to drink a majority of that. And you yoytze. Lechatchila, you should drink the entire thing. But b'dieved, you can drink a majority of that in your yoytze. Okay, now going now. Now what about...
Discuss it for 10 of 12 ounces.
Not 4 of these.
No, I know. It should be for 3 person.
What? A schnapps cup.
I know.
Yeah.
It is, the content is
this
12,
looks like it's 7.
Four,
it says 12 four ounces.
Right. Four person can drink four of this cup.
You get an idea. This is 12 ounces.
Yeah.
Okay, 12 ounces. You only need a fourth of this.
They can divide it for 4 persons.
You can divide this, right. This has 12 ounces.
Yeah, that's well, a big. Everybody is protesting.
On the cup. It says 12.
I have 12. You have a smaller cup. He has a smaller cup. I have a bigger cup. Two different cups. They're different. They're not the same. Okay, now, Mitzoy Shabbos. Okay, now, Mitzoy Shabbos, the first kois is the kois of Avdolah. Now, that's very complex. Here, there's certain halachas. Now, you make Avdolah, you have to make Borei Me'ori Ho'esh. How do you make Borei Me'ori Ho'esh on Yom Tov night? Do you need 2 candles? Do you need 1 candle? So the rule, this is the best thing to do is you take 2 candles, but you do not have them touch each other. That's what it says over here. Do not take the two candles and fuse them together, because by fusing them together, when you separate them, there can be an issue of kibui, of extinguishing. You're not going to extinguish it, but you are diminishing the potency, the koyach, of when you put two, the sum is greater than the parts. When you put two candles together, it causes a greater intensity. It causes the wax to burn at a quicker and accelerated weight. That's the mitzias. The sum is greater than the parts in regard to fire. Putting together two candles is a greater rate of combustion. When you thus separate them, you are diminishing the degree of combustion, and it is not ideal. Not that it's forbidden. This is an age-old question. Are you allowed to lower the flame on the gas range? That is an age-old question. Many do. Most probably do. Some people feel that it's better not to. I don't know. There are different reasons why gas may be different than a regular kibui, because reducing the degree of fuel is not necessarily the same thing as putting out a fire. Traditionally, the oilam has been very makel in reducing the gas on the range on Yom Tov. That's been tradition. Lately, there have been people that have been machmir, not that if you don't have to, it's not ideal to lower the flame on the range. It may enter into a she'ela of kibui. That, even if you do indeed lower the flame on the range, that's much better than putting two candles together and separating them, because that's a real fire. That, you're really taking away the fuel. When you're dealing with gas, it's much more indirect. When you're dealing with candles, putting them together and separating them, it appears that the place came a hold that it's much more of a blatant issue of kibbutz. So the best thing to do on the second night of Pesach this year is to take two candles and just have them come close to each other.
And what do you do with them after you finish?
You put them back in the leichter. You're not allowed to extinguish them. You're not allowed to. You put them in the leichter. Put them back in the leichter. You can take them out of the leichter.
Suppose you don't use a leichter with candles. You use like tea lights.
So pick up the tea lights.
In a glass container?
Yeah, pick them up and put them
as a... It'll burn your hands off.
No.
The metal ones. Pick them up and put them near each other in your hands. Safety first, okay? Obviously, you do whatever is safe. That's the Eresh Tzach. Use your seichel, okay? Safety first, yeah.
I buy every year by Eichel, they sell a Yachnahas candle. It's one candle. No,
sorry. Yeah.
It's one candle with two wicks. And you.
Okay, so that's okay. They make a special yak. They make it's a good business. I'm not so sure you're really accomplishing anything with this, because it's really one candle. I don't know. I've seen it. It's not one candle. It's two candles. If you go have multiple wicks, I have to see what they're selling in the store. It has to really be two separate candles. With the two wicks come together. But one candle with two wicks, if they're fused together, that's not
cool. And that's really good. It's cut. And you have
to... Okay, fine. Okay, so the special Yachne Bahas candle. Just make sure you put it away, it's safe. Just make sure you secure it in your leichter in a safe way. Safety first. Use your seichel. If it's not safe, you can be makel and you can use one candle. You can just go over to the leichter and just do the magic, right? Go and look at your nails without doing anything. B'di'evet, even l'chatchila, some say mitzvah Shabbos on Yom Tov, you only need one ner. You don't need to have an avuka, a torch. L'chatchila, we like to have a torch. It's the anniversary of when Adam HaRishon discovered fire. We like to have a big fire in avuka, but b'di'evet you just need the or fire. One candle, you can use the ner shel Shabbos, the ner shel Yom Tov. The ner shel Yom Tov, it does not have to be a special ner. You'll ask a question, but ein oisim mitzvahs chavilos. I don't know the answer. How could it be that you're using the same thing for two different purposes? I don't know. For some reason, the place will not concern with that. They hold that you can use the ner shel Yom Tov can be your ner shel havdalah. and you just go over to it and you make bori mo'ori ho'esh. If you can, take two of them, if it's not dangerous, to pick up two and bring the two together as close as possible without the two flames touching. That's also called an avuka. Whoever said that an avuka has to be where the two flames actually touch one another. Whoever said that's called an avuka. An avuka means more than one nair. More than one nair. And if the two fires, the two flames are next to each other, that also qualifies as an avuka. There's no need to take the two nairos and have them touch one another. Bring them close. You make the bari ma'ari ho'esh and put them back safely, securely back in the leichter. Okay, now the next unique halach, when you fill up a kais, question, do you overfill the cup that it should pour out onto the base? So people make a mistake and they think we always should do that. It's a sin in bracha. That when you go and you fill up the kais shel kiddush, you should fill it to the point where the wine in the kais overflows onto the base. There is no such thing. The only time that you should do this, there is a minhag to do this, is b'havdala motzoi Shabbos. Motzoi Shabbos, it represents that there should be a bracha, that your success should overflow kois molei al gidoisav. That is only for motzoi Shabbos, the kois shel havdala. It's the only time where there is an inyan to fill up the kois over its rim and it should overflow just slightly. So the question is, what about this year, Mitzoy Shabbos, the second out of the Seder, when you fill up the kois shel kiddush is also the kois shel havdalah. Do you fill up the kois shel kiddush that it should overflow? And the answer is no.
No.
Why not? Because you're not supposed to go to work this week. Even though Dover HaOvid is mutter, but ideally, it's not ideal to go do melacha the entire week. You don't do melacha. You don't do melacha. So you're not expecting that your parnasa should succeed to the point where it will overflow on its banks. So this year, Mitzvah Shabbos is the only time when your koi shel havdalah, which also happens to be your koi shel kiddush, should not be filled to the point where it overflows. Okay, so that is the very important. Yeah.
In Mitzvah Shabbat, if someone in the Amidah forgot to get batudienu, or also in the Kiddush, he didn't say Batudienu, Mishbesitkecha. You say or no, you say.
So if you forgot to say Havdalah, so very good point. If you forgot to say Havdalah, what do you do? I don't know the answer. He writes it over here. I don't remember. He talks about it. I just don't remember off the top of my head what he says to do. I don't remember. What? If you did not recite Havdalah, generally you're not allowed to eat. You're right. So then, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I have to go look it up. I don't know the answer. In the meantime, don't forget.
I'm sorry.
I don't know the answer. Yeah.
I don't know what they do in a home.
Maybe the Chinese.
There's a large collection of tea lights in one location, and people eat all over the place. And how, I mean, are you supposed to interrupt in the middle of Kiddush? And go into this other room where they're...
What do they do? What do they do in the hotel when you make kiddush the first night?
People pass around before
It must be. It must be that when you make kiddush in the hotel the second night of Pesach, it must be they have on the table candles. It must be. So they pass around the candle. It must be. This is a klinikite for them. They have a lot bigger things to worry about in the hotels, what to do. They obviously they have to pass around the candle. They have to pass around. They pass around either one candle or two candles.
Most of the hotels, when you like...
Safe location.
Or they have a security guard watching it until they're out.
Correct.
So obviously you can't make a zone if you're at the table.
So you have another candle. So you can light a candle.
And you can't put it out.
Right. So after you finish lighting it, they put it in a safe place. They put it down after they pass it around. And when you finish with it, they put it in a safe place where it burns out on its own. Okay. All right. Other halachos. There's one more halacha, saying kiddush. Now there are three minhagim how the entire family recites kiddush. And it gets more complex when it comes to this year because of Havdalah. What are the three basic minhagim how to recite kiddush? One minhag is only the Rosh Habayis makes kiddush. The Rosh Habayis, the father, whoever is leading the Seder, the leader, he recites Kiddush, and everyone else listens. They do not make their own Kiddush, they do not say Boy Priyagofen, they just listen. And they listen quietly, answer Amen, and then they all drink together. Now, when you do it, if you do it this way, not everyone knows this, the ideal thing is everyone should pick up the kois as the Rosh Habayis recites Kiddush. Now, first of all, there's a general discussion. Should you recite Kiddush standing up or sitting down? That's one issue. Everyone follows their minhag, whatever the minhag is. But even if your minhag is to sit down, or whatever it is, when the Rosh Habayis recites the Kiddush, mila b'mila, and everyone is listening carefully to every single word and answers Amen to all of his brachas, and at the very end drinks their own cup of wine, they should still hold up their cup of wine while the Rosh Habayis makes Kiddush. Not everyone knows that. You have many homes where it's still to the customary, where the Rosh Habayis makes the only Kiddush for the family, every word, mila b'mila, and he's holding up the kois, and he's saying the Kiddush, either he's standing or he's sitting, and the family is either standing with him or sitting with him, and they're just relaxing. He's holding up the kois, he's making Kiddush, and everyone is sitting and doing nothing. That is incorrect. When he is saying the Kiddush, the guest or the members of the family should also be holding up the kois while he is reciting the Kiddush. Like the Aseres B'nei Haman. There are certain things you can be yoytzeh with Shemea Ko'ineh, but you cannot be yoytzeh with Shemea Ko'ineh holding up the kois. I went to a Sheh Baruch, so the guy says, he made a joke. He comes in the morning and he says, sore throat. Why do you have a sore throat? He says, my wife kept me up the whole night. She was screaming and cursing me the whole night. So the Rebbe says, so why is your voice? Why do you have a sore throat? Did you answer her back? No, I didn't say a word. Why? So he says, Shoimea ka'oine. May you like that one? Shemay, what?
What you're saying is not for regular Kiddush. Not
regular Kiddush. Correct. Good point. Regular Kiddush is no the old Kiddush. Very good. You're making a very, very good point. When it comes to regular Kiddush, there is no halach. That's why people make this mistake. Excellent. On a regular Kiddush, if you go to a family, well, in the regular home, no one has their own kois in front of them. That's why you don't do it. That's why you don't do it. But by the kois, well, that's why people make this mistake, because they're not used to it. They're not used to holding up their own kois. But when it comes to the Seder, you have to drink 4 cups of wine. And the cups of wine is cheirus. And when you're reciting the Kiddush, the Shoimea Ka'oineh works in order to be yotzei the words and the bracha. But Shoimea Ka'oineh does not work for the obligation to hold up the kois. This is the first kois of the Dalet kois.
What about the bracha shechianu?
We're going to come there right now. Okay. Now, this is what you do in your home where the Rosh Habayis makes the kiddush, or he says the shechianu, and he makes the kiddush, and he makes the havdalah, and he makes the bari ma'ari ho'esh, and he makes the. There's no besamim. Okay, he does all things. Now let's go to minig number two. Minig number two is everyone says kiddush together. Okay, there are families that have such a custom. Whatever they do during the year, whatever, but during Pesach, they all recite the Kiddush Mila B'Mila together. Okay, then there's the third minig. Third minig is one at a time. That's probably becoming very popular today. I don't know, I can't say for sure. Is where the Rosh Habayis, he makes Kiddush. Now you make Kiddush. Now you make Kiddush. Now you make Kiddush. Everyone makes Kiddush one at a time. Now, here you get into the complicated issue. So if you do this in a regular year, so far everyone makes their own Kiddush, or you say it together. But when it comes this year, there's Havdalah, you have an issue, and there's another issue, which really is true every single year, and that is the issue of the Shehechianu. What do we mean? When the woman lights candles, she makes a shehechianu. So does she make another shehechianu when she recites Kiddush? And normally on a regular Yom Tif, a woman recites shehechianu when she lights Kiddush, and there's a very big dilemma. Well, she lights candles. And there's a very big dilemma if she's even allowed to answer the Amen to the Shehechianu when her husband recites Kiddush, because she already made a Shehechianu, and now her husband is making a Shehechianu for the very first time, and she doesn't need that Shehechianu. She already made a Shehechianu, so answering Amen may be a hefsek between the drinking of the wine and the boirei priyagofen.
You brought this up by Sukkah.
Correct. So what do we do? The halacha is it's not called a hefsek. The halacha is she can answer Amen even though she was already yoytse with the Amen. Answering Amen to someone who is obligated and making a Shehechianu does not, in the world of halacha, considered such a tragedy that it should be called a hefsek between the boirei priyagofen and the drinking of her wine. But when a woman makes her own kiddush. Now there are different minhagim. I don't know what women do. Some women will only do, they'll just answer to their husband's bracha. Maybe not. Everyone has their own minhagim. But if the woman's minhag is that she says her own kiddush, does she say shehechianu? She already made a shehechianu when she lit the yomtiv candles. Does she make a shehechianu when she recites kiddush? So the answer is no. No. However, it's not so simple. Because the Shehechianu that you recite by the Seder is not just for the Kedushas Yom Tov, it's for all of the mitzvahs of the Seder. Matzah. Where is the Shehechianu on the Matzah? Where do you make? You make a Shehechianu, take a Dalet Minim. Where is the Shehechianu for the Morar? Where is the Shehechianu for the Dalet Kaisais? Where is the Shehechianu for the Afikoimen? These are all mitzvahs midrabanan. Where's the Shehechianu for the midst of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? You'll have all these lamish answers why this doesn't need Shehechianu, that does. But the bottom line is, these are unique mitzvahs, and matzah for sure should need a Shehechianu, the Dalet Kaisais and Morar are three mitzvahs for sure. I don't know, you say a Morar Shehechianu on bitterness? Maybe not. But on the Dalet Kaisais and on the matzah, for sure you need a Shehechianu. And the Kedushas Yomtif, for sure need a Shehechianu. So therefore, many parts consider the Shehechianu by the Seder is not the same Shehechianu the other nights of the Yom Tov. Ad kidei kach, that there are, I don't know what your minig is, everyone has a different minig, you have to ask what the minig is, maybe some say that a woman should indeed recite her own Shehechianu. She should make a Shehechianu because it's not, the Shehechianu she made when she lit candles was only on the Kedusha of Yom Tov.
That's why the new halachas svarim that, and they teach this in the yeshivas for girls also, not to make a shehechianu when they light candles anymore ever, because if they're hearing it from their husband in their house, okay, that, shehechianu, that's what
they do. That's a chiddush, tremendous case to say that.
I understand, but that's what they teach people nowadays.
I don't know. Is that really true?
Yeah, it says in a lot of places.
Okay. But no question, this is the ideal thing to do. There's no question. A wife who made a shehechianu when she lit the candles should listen carefully. It would be better, it would appear, not to make her own Shehechianu when she makes Kiddush.
Yeah.
And should listen carefully to the Shehechianu of her husband and answer Amen. Unlike the rest of the year, the other Yom Tov, where maybe she should not listen so carefully to her husband's Shehechianu, because she already made a Shehechianu when she lit candles. But the Lel Seder is different because there are mitzvahs of the Lel Seder which require Shehechianu that are not included in the Shehechianu of the Halakas Neirois, and therefore she should definitely, ideally, listen with Kavan to the Shehechianu of her husband and answer Amen. What about real halachic dilemma, which is not a really good answer, it's not so simple what to do, of a woman who has her own Seder, a woman who is eating alone, or with other who lit candles, and there's no one else making Kiddush reciting Shehechianu. So then, should she make a double Shehechianu? She made a Shehechianu when she lit candles, and now should she make another Shehechianu when she makes Kiddush? Or should she have Kavana Bedavka when she lights candles? Not that this Shehechianu should not go for the Matzah and Maror, so she Bedavka can make another Shehechianu, or Pun Fakert, when she makes a Shehechianu by the candles, she have Kavana for everything together. That's a very tough question. That's a very tough question. I know there's a woman putting out a book. It's probably too late. There's a woman putting out a book, going it alone. It's going to be published by Art Scroll at the end of the year, in June approximately. And it's called Going It Alone. It's a book that is that has been created for women who live alone. Divorcees, Rahman al-Sam, divorcees, almanais, or single girls who are running a household as the Rosh HaBayis, who lead a bayis without a male, without a husband. So there are many going to be many sections in this book. There's going to be hashkafa. There's going to be stories. There's going to be, I don't even know all the different sections, but there's one section I know because I was partially involved, and that is the halachic section. Women who leading a bayis alone have a very complex halachas. And this is an example which should be in the book, which I don't know, because I was, there's a whole story, I was involved initially, and then I was dismissed. I wouldn't say dismissed. I passed the baton, whatever it was. That's a story. And this would be a perfect thing for the book, and this is a unique question. A woman who's running a home alone, so what does she do when she comes to the Shehechiyanu at the Lil Seder? It's a very big halachic dilemma. If she has a man in the home, the ideal thing is that she answer Amen, have kavan to answer Amen to the bracha of the man. If there's no man in the home, we have the Shaila. Now, there's another very important Shaila, and that is, what about the second night of Pesach, when you make, vayisei, havdala vatodienu? Noshim generally do not recite havdala. That is a basic, a minhag Yisrael. Not just, they don't recite, they do not drink from the koishal yayin, and they do not recite it. Someone recites Havdalah for them. That is the Minna Yisrael, and there are a lot of reasons for this, because what Havdalah and my Sibarachis and the Chet Eitzadas, there's a lot of interesting things about this.
Woman's making Havdalah for herself, if no one else?
Then of course she makes Havdalah for herself. But ideally, L'chatchila, a woman does not make her own Havdalah. A woman should listen to the havdalah of a man. And generally, she does not drink from the koish shel havdalah. Now, this year, you got a problem. Because if you live in a home where the minig is, where a woman, where every member of the bayis makes their own kiddush, that's the minig, and including the wife, everyone at the sikkah, since the koishos, nosh machayiv in dalet koishos. Just like men.
No problem.
So women have to drink 4 cups of wine. And they have to recite the Nusach. And normally they would recite Kiddush by themselves. If that's the minig on this particular bayis. And they're different hugging. But if the minig on the bayis, where each person sins in the 4 kaitzos, they say their own Kiddush. And then each also says her own Kiddush. So the second out of Pesach this year is Misoy Shabbos. And the Nusach of Kiddush is really the Nusach of Havdalah. So how then can a woman... Should a woman this year change her custom and not recite Kiddush and listen to the Kiddush / Havdalah of her husband? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Even though normally a woman does recite the Kiddush by the Seder, if that's her custom, but when it's Mitzvah Shabbos, since the minig, universal minig is that an Isha does not recite Havdalah, so she does not, if there is a husband. Just like every Mitzvah Shabbos, he makes Havdalah, she should listen to his Kiddush, which includes within it the Havdalah.
And also Shehechiyanu.
Well, Shehechiyanu, we said, for sure.
It will resolve everything.
Right. It will resolve everything if she will listen to the Kiddush of her husband. But some will argue, no, you know, Shemea Ka'ayne, some will tell you it's only a Bidi Evet. L'chatchila, you do it yourself. You do it yourself, especially when it comes to the Dalek Kaisis, Afin Hoyu Ba'isa Hanes, there's a certain pride and there's a certain obligation to make your own Kiddush, to do it yourself. So there are different minhagim. Everyone does what they're accustomed to, and someone that has no minhag is all mixed up like me. So you figure it out. You figure out the circumstances. You know, a lot of times it's not really, it's based on circumstance. You come to the home, it's not practical. It all depends on the setting. How many people are at the Seder? Are other women saying it themselves, or they're listening to the Rosh HaBayis? You know, it all depends. Every situation is different, but you have to know what the issues are. At the end of the day, whatever you're going to do is going to be good. because there's going to be a shita in the poskim that says like this, like this, like this, and you always can work backwards and you can say whatever you did is going to be good. But it's worthy to know what the issues are and what is ideal and what is not ideal, and when you can do it the right way, to do it the right way. It would appear that the ideal thing to do this year would be for a woman, the second night is for a woman not to make kiddush and to listen to her husband recite the kiddush, because number one, you have the shechayonu, which is a shayla in and of itself, and number two, you have havdalah, and there's also, you know, the nair, like every mitzvah Shabbos, to let the husband make the kiddush while she holds her cup of wine, and then when it's over, she drinks it. The first night, if you make kiddush, fine, but the shechayonu, you listen to the husband make the shechayonu, you yoytze with his shechayonu, but you have to listen because there are unique mitzvahs of the yoyim. Last thing, we'll do some agadah. Do you say this year, Shalom Aleichem? Do you say Eishes Chayil this year? Some do, some do not. Some will tell you that you dare not. Better not. Why not? Because the night of the Seder is V'yavarti bi'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh v'keis kumuchav yeretz Mitzrayim ani v'loy malach.
Oh boy.
Ani v'loy sholiach, ani v'loy saraf, ani hu v'loy acher. Malachim are not invited. They're not invited to the Seder. Don't start the Seder on the wrong note. Shalom aleichem alachei hashareis. You're not invited tonight. Ani v'loy malach. Especially those who have the custom not to say tzeis on the Shalom.
What they should do, malachim?
What
they should do this Shabbat?
That's not your problem. That's not your problem, what they do. It's not your problem. It says, you know, there are some people who have the minhag not to say tseischem l'sholem. How can you dismiss? And even those who say tseischem l'sholem, they'll tell you they're not dismissing these new malachim. They're dismissing last week's malachim who have been lingering around. They're squatters. You get rid of them. What? They have to go to a Seder, the Malachim? Someone else Seder. Not your Seder. Malachim, some do not say Tseischem L'shem ever. How can you dismiss them? The more the merrier. Come. Don't go away. What?
What about Eishes Chayil?
Oh, Eishes Chayil. That's how you thank your wife. For the Seder. You say a little mizmar. It's an insult to say Eishes Chayil at the Seder. The whole Pesach is your wife. And that's how you thank. I'm not joking. The whole year round, new. You're my wife, new. This is what you're supposed to do. So I'll give you a token of recognition. Eishes Chayil. You'll sing Eishes Chayil. The Seder. That's all you're going to do, like what you do every single Shabbos? That's say the whole Eim Habonim Semecha. That's the Eishes Chayil. You sing Hallel to your wife. Really? You sing Hallel to your wife. Eim Habonim Semecha is the Eishes Chayil. It's a much more glorified. Or, you want to hear a really nasty, nasty joke? Really? How could you say Eishes Chayil when you say Maror Zoo?
Excuse me, if the name...
The stira, the same, I'm evil malach, this is Maror Zoo. You can't say Eishes Chayil. If you repeat this at home, Rabbi Sai, don't come back here again.
If the lady should say...
What?
If the lady should say one Shechyonu,
yeah.
The priority is to say Shechyonu for candle lighting or for the Kiddush. Which is the priority?
Candle lighting. Candle lighting.
Okay.
And have Havana and everything.
And the question is that it is Hak Heruteno. Yes?
Yeah.
Heruteno. The lady says, I want to say Kiddush tonight, not you and my husband. It's Shikande to the Kiddush for the family.
I don't know. You're getting shown by his problems. I don't know. Whatever you do is good. Whatever you
want
to do is good.
I want to
okay. Really, the Eishes Chayil is when you give it's faint praise. Everyone knows that ki ba'apam hargu ish. You ask a person, what do you think about this boy for a shidduch? And you twist your nose. You move your nose. You just destroyed him. I didn't say anything bad. Keep a apple. Faint praise.
Like this.
Faint praise. You can kill a person. Asia's chayil is faint praise in Lil Pesach. So you don't say it. There are other ways. There are other elements in the Seder where you focus on the wife. Okay, there are the whole surah of the Seder is the parents giving over to their children. When you're giving praise, you're giving credits. It means you're removing yourself from the story. When you're a participant, I was once with Rosh Shiva in a car many years before smartphones existed, and then the big deal was digital cameras. Every yukel today the digital camera business has gone down the drain, only for the big professionals who have very expensive cameras, because today basically every smartphone is more advanced than any digital camera you'll buy. But in those days it was a big new thing, a digital camera. And we came to the parking lot, and this Rosh Shiva saw these ladies by the door. They were taking pictures with their little cute little new digital cameras. This goes back. He exploded into us in the car, and he says, "When you take a picture, when you're making a statement, you're not a participant. You're not a participant. You're an observer. Are you coming here to this wedding to participate, or are you coming here to observe? This is a photographer. He takes the pictures. If you're going to pull out your digital camera, or for that matter, your smartphone, that means you're not a participant. The Baal HaBayis invited you to participate. He did not invite you to be the photographer. Don't go and become the photographer." So I went to a wedding. So again, it's very true, but it's funny because I went to a wedding once, and I know the grandparents very, very well. And they're there, and I took out my smartphone. I took some videos, and I right away instantly I sent it to them, and oh, was he happy because I captured like some of these candid moments.
Did you get it a year later?
So now I went a week ago to another wedding in this family, and I come there to the Chassan's Tish, and I wish the Mazel of the Zayda sitting there, and he says to me, he remembered that like 2 years ago what I did. He says to me, "You have a smartphone on you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know how to use it?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, good. As long as you know how to use it." He was basically asking me, "Do me a toiva, take some pictures and send me the pictures," because his wife and himself have a lot of hana, because they'll get the pictures in 3 months from now, if they'll even get them, we'll get some videos, some pictures. This way you can have some instant nachas from seeing. So, you know, yesh to yesh. Don't get meshuggah, though. Don't go meshuggah. If you're going to say Eishes Chayil, you're making your wife into an observer. Oh, giving credits. We're giving credits. Eishes Chayil Miyimsa. By not saying Eishes Chayil, that means your wife is a partner in the actual ceremony that is taking place. It's not appropriate. There are different ways. It's either feint praise.
So what about every Shabbos when you do say Eishes?
No, because that obviously is appraitate. That obviously it's not. The Suda Shabbos is not the Seder. The Suda Shabbos is Suda Shabbos. Okay, Yesh V'Yesh. The Seder is in a league by itself.
Who invented Eishes
Chayil to say? To say Friday night? When did it start? I don't know. Okay, we have a few minutes left. Let's learn some. I want to go over a few more interesting Yoni Hagada. Okay, Now, I find we know that the entire Seder is all about Rebbe v'Talmud. I just want to point out something that I found very interesting. Rebbe v'Talmud. A Rebbe and